Gil, well, we're glad to be here this evening, another time, and to have this privilege of making known the gospel. Now, we're going to look at some scriptures together. First of all, from the Psalms, and we'll turn to Psalm number 86. Psalm number 86, please. And we'll just read from verse 1. Psalm 86 and verse 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. I just want you to notice that phrase, the Lord, how he is ready to forgive. Now, could you go to the New Testament, to Luke's Gospel this time, and chapter 14. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, and verse 15. Luke chapter 14 and verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. They all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. The servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now there's a final verse in 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Apostle Paul here, in some of his last words, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, he says, For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And the Lord will bless his word to our hearts that we have read together. It's this little word that occurs in each of these passages, the thought of being ready. The psalmist speaks of the Lord as being ready to forgive. In the great invitation that was sent out in Luke chapter 14, the words were, Come, for all things are now ready. And the great apostle, as he comes to the end of life,
He uses these words, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. You see, we have a God who is ready to forgive, a supper that is ready to serve, and a man who is ready to die. And those three things are very important, aren't they? A God who is ready to forgive. Forgiveness is a tremendous reality from the Word of God. To be forgiven and to know the reality of forgiveness. The psalmist says, Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. There is brought before us the great reality of the source of forgiveness. The source of forgiveness is the Lord. Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. The thought, you see, of forgiveness and to be forgiven simply means that sins are dismissed, put away, set aside, sins removed. There's a beautiful illustration of this in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, where on the Day of Atonement, the high priest confessed the sins of the people, the nation of Israel, onto the head of a goat. And this goat was taken by the hand, the Bible says, of a fit man, into a wilderness uninhabited, and it never returned. And there you see was the great thought of the sins that were removed. They were gone. They were dismissed. Isn't it a tremendous thought that according to the reality of the Word of God, that a man or woman, boy or girl, that their sins can be dismissed, forgiven, removed. It's on the basis alone of redemption. The Scriptures tell us, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I want you to think for a moment about a God who is ready to forgive. You know, in Mark chapter 2, there's an exciting story where the Lord Jesus was in a house and He was speaking. They were crowded around Him, standing outside the house. And coming in the distance were four men carrying a man in a stretcher. And if you know that story, you will remember how that there they came on a problem, the crowd around and the Savior inside, how were they going to get the man to Christ? And you remember how that it tells us they went up onto the roof and they took the tilings of the roof. And I'm sure people wondered what they were doing and maybe felt like calling the police, I don't know, but they took the roof off and they let the man down right at the feet of the Savior. The man, the palsy, lying on a bed. Now it's an amazing story. There he was. His need is evident. His need is visible, paralyzed. There is no doubt that as one looked at him, they could see his great need, his great physical need, and his physical disability. What amazing thought. The Lord Jesus saw a greater need. The Lord Jesus saw a need that was far greater than his physical need. And what was that? It was a spiritual need. Because, you know, as that man lay on that bed, that palsy, having been let down, the Lord Jesus said unto him, Son, thy sins are forgiven thee. And then later on he said to him, Arise, take up thy bed and walk. To everybody else they thought, surely it's the other way around, but no. This man's need physically was immense, was vast, but there was even a greater need. His spiritual need, the need of forgiveness. My tonight, there are many people in great need in this world. And one thinks of the great hardships and the famines that ravage in certain countries, and no doubt our hearts are touched and moved. But it is an amazing thing that beyond that there is a greater need. There is the need that's in here, the need that is spiritual, the need that is eternal. Thy sins be forgiven thee. The source of forgiveness, the Lord. And how they looked at him and they asked questions and they thought in their mind about what he was doing. And then he said, For the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Able to forgive. The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. My, this evening, forgiveness of sins and the reality of sins forgiven is not found in a religion, nor it's not found in a ritual, nor it's not found in any sacraments, no matter how elaborate they might be. Forgiveness of sins is found in a person and through the person of the Lord Jesus. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. My dear friend, tonight in the meeting, the reality of sin, no matter how great or how vast it might be, the reality of sins that can be forgiven. But you know, as I looked at this and thought about it, the Lord is not only able to forgive, but you know, He loves to forgive. Isn't that amazing? There are a lot of people, you know, and like human nature, when people sometimes forgive, maybe afterwards they may regret it. It may hurt their pride. But I want to tell you this, that when the Lord forgives, He not only does it, but He loves to do it. It's a wonderful thought that the Lord Jesus not only saves sinners, but He loves to save. There's a lot of things, you know, in life that you have to do. You may not always like having to do, but you do. But you see, the Lord Jesus, He not only saves, He not only forgives, but He loves to do it. The Bible says that He will abundantly pardon. He will do it with overflowing. He will do it with all the abundance of His heart. Oh, tonight in this meeting, if I could just impress upon you how much the Lord Jesus longs to bless you and to save you. Sometimes, you know, we forget about that. Maybe you're here tonight, boy or girl, man or woman, and as yet you're not saved. You don't know Christ. And I don't know if you've thought about it or not, but I want to tell you this tonight, that the one of whom we're telling you about, He longs to save, and He loves to save. The Lord are good and ready to forgive. The source of forgiveness is not only the source of forgiveness from the Psalms, but you know there is the scope of forgiveness. who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, them all. Not one of them, but all of them. Not some of them, but all of them, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. An amazing thought. The Lord Jesus said about all manner of sin shall be forgiven you. John in his epistle says that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. There is nothing else, and there is no one else can do that. Sins that can be blotted out. Sins that can be forgiven. Oh yes, the vilest offender, the poet said, who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. I remember a few years ago going to visit a fellow in prison. And he had been in prison, been caught up in the troubles. And with the organization he was with, he had planted a bomb that had killed a British soldier. But when in prison, this young man found the Savior. I'll never forget going in to see him in the Crumlin Road jail. Walking right into the place where visitors were, and I knew right away that was him. Never seen him before. Well, there was something about him. Something about him. He told me the story of how he had come to know the Savior. That he had longed for forgiveness. And time again, he sought the priest, but could find no forgiveness. Lying awake at night, wrestling, and time again, and he tried so many of them, and they got tired of him. But there was something within that wrestled there in the prison cell. Prisoner, a prison officer, warder, left a gospel tract. Very often he threw them away, but one night he lifted it and started to read it. And there he was lying in his cell there, having served now several years in prison and the awful guilt of sin that was still as heavy upon him as the first day he had committed it. And all the religion and everything that he had tried, he had no peace. He had no assurance. And as he read the words of gospel on that leaflet, and he read about being saved, he said, I didn't know what to do. And I wondered, how can I get saved? What do I do? And he says, as I lay there in the cell, tossing and turning about, How am I going to get saved? Because he realizes this is what he needed. The Lord alone could give him forgiveness. Somehow there was that thought that reached his mind. Just ask the Lord. Just ask him in. It was an amazing thing. He says, as I lay there, I just asked the Lord to forgive me and to save me. He was right at the end of his tether, And as he lay there, he just asked the Lord to forgive him and to save him. He says, in 2 minutes I was fast asleep. And the morning broke in the prison cell. And he realized that the burden of sin was gone. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. All manner of sins shall be forgiven you. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. My tonight in this meeting, blessed thought that you can know the reality of sins forgiven, blotted out, dismissed, removed, gone forever because of a Savior who has died, who has paid the debt of sin, who has paid the price, who has shed His blood. Gone forever because in simple childlike faith you've just believed it and received it. The reality of it will reach your heart. The source of forgiveness, the scope of forgiveness, but very briefly, the satisfaction of forgiveness. Psalm 32, blessed or happy is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Oh, the blessedness of sins forgiven. Oh, the blessedness of peace with God. Oh, the blessedness of knowing in your heart and in your soul that I'm ready to die. That I'm ready for heaven. Like I didn't deserve it. But Christ has died for me. And I have simply received Him and accepted Him as my Savior. And God says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and have got life. Eternal life. Ready to forgive. Come, for all things are now ready. Oh, what a proclamation. Come. Come, come, come. Come is the sweet invitation of grace. Come unto Jesus, the soul's resting place. The man that made the great supper and invited many and sent the servant out to say, come, for all things are now ready. The proclamation was come. For all things, the provision. For all things are now ready. It's perfection. It's complete. Nothing more has to be done. Nothing more has to be added. It's just come. Oh, isn't that the message again and again through Scripture? To come and to take of the water of life. Really, come, for all things are now ready. Oh, the supper, you know how often we think of this great illustration that was given, and how often we could think of it in relation to the sacrifice that the Savior made. It was a supper that was full. There was plenty. There was enough. There was all things. There was an abundance about it. It was a message to come because there was enough. Like tonight, that's what the gospel is all about. And what the Savior did upon the cross is enough to save you tonight, 2,000 years later. That what the Savior did there upon the cross, when He died, and when He gave His life, and when He shed His blood, that in what He did, there is enough, there is plenty, there is provision. Come, for all things are now ready. The fullness and the greatness of Calvary. Peter preached it on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 were saved. It's been preached down every generation since. Millions have heard it.
Millions have believed it and been saved. And yet tonight, it's still big. As big as it ever was. As good as it ever was. As full as it ever was. As sufficient as it ever was. Come, for all things are now ready. Oh, the greatness of the death of Christ. Oh, the sufficiency of the Savior's blood. My, tonight in this meeting, it'll take you in. It's big enough to save you. It's big enough to save you tonight. There is no other place and on no other grounds where God will forgive and can forgive men and women, boys and girls, but on the basis of the death of Christ at the cross. It's the only way to God. The Bible says that men and women, they are reconciled to God through the death of His Son. The supper, it was full. The message went out for all. For all. They went out into the highways and the hedges. The message went out to the poor and the halt. And on it goes. It was a message that was vast, you see. A message that reached out. Come, for all things are now ready. Why, it's one of the greatest things, isn't it, that? Here's a message tonight that takes you in. A message from heaven. For you. Amazing, isn't it? You got a message from some world leader or something, you would be excited about it. But the gospel message is a message from heaven. It's the gospel of God. And it's about His Son. And it's a message for you and for me. Amazing. The Lord Jesus said to His disciples, before He left them, He said, I want you to go. I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Great Commission. Go and tell them. A message from heaven for you. For you. And yet how often you have heard it and done nothing about it. How often it has reached your ears, but it doesn't seem to have reached your heart. How often it has been repeated. And maybe you could even tell it yourself. But you've never received it yet. You've never accepted it. As an individual. You. Personally. Oh, it's a message. For all, this great supper that was full, that was for all, that it was free, come for all things are now ready, free. Nothing to pay, nothing to pay. The hymn writer put it so well when he said, salvation full at highest cost. He offers free to all. Free to all. Amazing. The cost of it could not nor cannot be calculated in any currency of earth. It cannot be calculated the cost of salvation. Peter says it was precious blood, not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. The cost of it tonight was vast. the sufferings that were his, the darkness that he went through, the wrath that was poured upon him. Oh, this evening, let me tell you that this message, that this great salvation, the cost of it can never be estimated. But it's free tonight for you. It's free for the whosoever will, who will believe. You cannot pay for it because it's been paid for. You cannot work because the work has been done. You cannot do anything more. It has all been done. Religion, you see, there is something at the root of every religion that says do. Do. Maybe a whole host of things. But you see that the thing where people find difficulty in relation to the message of the gospel is that all has been done, that they don't have to pay, that they don't have to work, that they don't have to do penance, that they don't have to endure this or that or the other thing, but they've just simply got to receive and believe. And you know something? There's something about human nature that wants to do something. Oh, I have talked with fellows in the place where I used to work, and it's amazing, you know, that so many of them at times had the idea, well, if I would give to this cause or that cause, it might help me. It might help me in the last day, in the day of judgment. Oh, tonight, it has all been paid for. And the receipt of it is the empty tomb. The Savior's alive. And I know that it's all been paid for, and salvation has been fully wrought and completed. For God raised His Son from amongst the dead ones. The receipt of redemption is the resurrection. It's free. Come, for all things are now ready. Paul says, I'm now ready to be offered. A man ready to die. Amazing story. He's in an old, dark and dingy dungeon in Rome. He's nearing the end of the line. And he says, I'm now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. Amazing. How can you talk like that, Paul? Well, you know, over 30 years ago on the Damascus Road, I came face to face with the living Christ. And my will was bowed and my heart was broken. And I put my trust and faith in Him. And He saved me. And I'm ready to die. Are you any better than anybody else? Indeed I'm not. But is there anything special about you? Not a thing. The only thing that is special, I've got the Savior. A man ready to die. Time of my departure is at hand. What a word that departure is. It's a picture, you know. Because sometimes a word in the Bible is a great big picture. And the great big picture here is of a sailing vessel all ready to go. And the furls, the sails are all unfurled. And the breeze is filling them, you know. And the vessel is just longing to get away. And about to lift the anchor and throw the ropes off the shore and sail out. As Paul says, look, I'm just like that. I'm just like a sailing vessel. The furls are all filled with the breeze. And I'm just longing to get away. I'm longing to lift anchor and to move out, to be loosed from its moorings. That's the picture of a vessel being loosed from its moorings. And you see, when the vessel is loosed from its moorings and it goes out of the harbor, it gets a new liberty. The restrictions of the harbor are gone. And it sails to the new land. And that's the picture. Paul says, very soon, I'm going to lift anchor. My life will be over. I'm going to leave this world, to leave Earthshore. And I'm going to get a new liberty. The old flesh will be gone. And I'm going to the new land. I'm going to be with Christ, which is far better. Now we'll ask you a wee question tonight. Because there's no doubt about this one. That someday your boat will sail, as it were. And so will mine. And someday, if the Lord be not come, everyone in this room will leave the harbor, will leave this world. I wonder tonight, just what about it? Just where you'd be sailing to? Just where you'd be going to? Oh, the reality that someday your boat will sail. Someday you'll leave the shore. Startling, isn't it? Paul says, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to die. Time of my departure is at hand. I'm ready. Are you ready? I remember as a little boy, a man died not far from where I was brought up. And all his life he had heard the gospel. And yet somehow he came to the end of life and he never had received the Savior. A friend who had grown up along with him, who had been saved for many years, went to see him. And the last words of this man that was dying were simply these. I'm dying, and I'm not ready. I was only a boy of 9 or 10. And I remember those words. Sinking in. Not ready. The reality of that. But you know, I thought of the words of a famous preacher who, when he was dying, his last recorded words were these. Earth is receding. Heaven is appearing. God is calling. And I must go. A man who was ready to die. A God who is ready to forgive tonight. You. Every sin. Dismissed. Removed. Blotted out. Because of the precious blood. A supper ready to serve. A salvation that is full, that is vast, that is free. That's for you tonight. A man ready to die. Well, that's it, isn't it? The end of the line. The end of the story. For we must needs die. And there is water spilt on the ground. cannot be gathered up again. Which way? Which direction are you going? The poet said that the train goes down the track, and there ain't no turning back. When you reach the other side, an eternity begins. Which station will your train be in? Which? Are you ready? If not, there's a God who's ready to forgive. There's a salvation that's ready tonight for you. Oh, that you'd believe. Oh, that you would Christ receive. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank Thee this evening for Thy precious word. We do ask Thee that there may be someone, even in this meeting, and they would come into the blessedness of sins forgiven and peace with God through believing. We thank Thee, Lord, that there is salvation. Salvation that has been provided, that is freely offered. Oh, grant, Lord, that someone tonight may make this the night when they'll get ready, when they'll get right with God and know the reality of forgiveness and of Christ as their Savior. So bless Thy word and speak to hearts and save for Thy glory as we seek Thy parting blessing. 132 in closing. 132. There's a voice that is calling to thee, and it pleads with its tenderest tone, whilst it bids thee from God's wrath to flee, and whispers to Jesus, "Now come." Oh, that you would think of the chorus tonight, "Sinner, hear and obey." 'Tis the voice of the Spirit that cries. 132, thinking of the words, just keeping our seats while we sing.